Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories, oh what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me,
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
A good evening and greetings in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again as we go into your word, I pray, Father, to the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me and to open up my heart and my mind to be receptive, Father, to this your word so that I can grow thereby and walk closer unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, be with me as we go through the study this evening. Enlighten me, Father. Keep me in health and keep me safe. And I'm asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in chapter 2 of Ephesians. It's not a real long chapter. There's 22 verses. We'll see what the Lord has for us. Verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. This word quickened, that Paul is using here, means to be made alive. In chapter 1, verse 19, Paul prays for his readers to recognize what God's power has done in them as part of the answer to this prayer. And you know, it also informs them of some of the effects divine might have accomplished in them. Verse 2. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You see, we are here in Ephesians chapter 2. We just finished with verse 2. And he's talking about you walked, means you've lived in the course of this world. And the word course signifies all the tendencies, thoughts, pursuits, deeds, and so on that characterize the present period of history this world means. In other words, in this world system, that is, these philosophies and the values and the lifestyle that are opposed to God and hostile to Him before conversion. And the Ephesian Jews to conduct themselves in accordance with such ungodly values. And the prince of the power of the air may be read the ruler of the kingdom in the air. They also used to live by the dictates and wishes of Satan. You see, there's a lot more in these verses than we think when we really take time and we have the guidance of the Holy Spirit to give us the depth of these verses and the truth and the real meaning that has been aimed for us to have and to understand so that we can grow in spirit and we can grow in knowledge and wisdom and we can grow in the kingdom of Almighty God and grow closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here in verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You see, he's letting you and I know how we walked in our life before we went to the Lord Jesus, and some even after they have been there, and they have pulled away and backed away, and are again walking in accordance of this world, believing that they are all right because of the thought of their mind instead of living by the word itself. And we know that there in verse 3, that we all had our conversation means that we all conducted ourselves in contrast to ye in 2:2, which refers to Gentiles. And note the we of this verse, which refers to Jews. In essence, Paul admits we Jews were no better than you Gentiles. Both ethnic groups were sinful. Children of wrath refers to people subject to divine punishment. When you see the Jews, their rejection of the Lord Jesus and trying to destroy him and live contrary to his teaching, you know, was the very reason that God brought the gospel and all to the Gentile nations. That's why he called Paul and made him the apostle. He was the apostle to the Gentile nations, called and appointed by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. You see, we didn't love him first. He loved us. And he loved us when we were really not worthy of it. At all. By no means. And we were living out in the world in sin. But he still loved us. Five, even when we were dead in sins, and has quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. Six, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now you see, 4 through the verse 6 there, but begins to disclose God's response to man's sin of verses 1 through 3. And this divine response is expressed in three main verbs. One, God has quickened us because they were morally dead in sins. The Lord gave them spiritual life. Two, and has raised us up together. That is, God has not allowed these Christians to remain in the grave of their old life with its sinful ways and habits, but he brought them into a new life and demonstration of it. And three, God made us all sent into and set in heavenly places. That is, he has brought us into his presence and into an intimate relationship with himself. Now, do you still want to go your own way? And your own way? Most do. Because they don't accept the word of God. They don't listen. And it's getting harder and harder and harder every day to reach mankind and to get him to actually live in righteousness. Think about it. Now, and it makes it harder for us to teach. Because no one wants to listen and do. Even those that listen, they hear the word, but that's it. They're not going to do anything. And they're not even going to listen rightly. They only listen when they want to. They don't follow the word of God and the things he tells them. Seven, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. In other words, to demonstrate, this denotes the ultimate purpose for all that God did for me and you and for the Ephesians It is that throughout eternity, he might make us understand more and more his goodness to us. But we must. There are things we must do in order to make heaven our home, to spend eternity with him and the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we don't, we are going to split hell wide open. Why is it so hard to get you to understand that? But it seems to be very, very hard. Now, 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You see, forgives the reason for this future demonstration of divine grace. It is because man owes his salvation. You and I, we owe our salvation to this grace, our undeserved divine favor. The force of the Greek, actually, perfect tense, are you saved, indicates that the Ephesians were spiritually saved at some point in the past, and at the present time of writing, they remain in this state of salvation. Now, he goes on to let them know that it was not of themselves. You see, the Son of themselves, it is through the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, we find that no part of salvation is of ourselves, or due to what we do. The whole of salvation is the gift of God. Man is saved by grace, and that is by the kindness of God in having Jesus die for our sins. But this grace is appropriated through faith. That is the only way we can get it and receive it. We go to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we repent. He forgives us our sins. We accept that by faith. And we put our trust and all in him, knowing that from now on our lives is through him. And that's the way it's accepted. All right. 9. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, yes, we are to work, but we don't work to get salvation. We work because we have salvation. We can't buy it, and we can't work our way there. We work because we have it. Now, 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. You see, we walk in good works because we have that salvation. So right there. 11. Wherefore, remember that you, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh made by hands. Well, that's because the Gentiles was not required to circumcise their young babies, male babies, as the Jewish groups were. And this is what he's talking about there. Now, you see, for them to call us uncircumcised, especially in that day, that was a derogatory term that they used, the Jews did, regarding Gentiles, because they were not circumcised. They were uncircumcised. Now, Jews call themselves the circumcision since they were circumcised, because that was a requirement for them. But when Jesus came and they started letting the Gentiles in to receive the things of God, although the Jews wanted them to be circumcised, they didn't have to be. Now, it's a good thing for us to circumcise our young men, but we don't do it because of Christianity. We do it for health reasons. Now, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, there in 12, he's letting us know at that time refers to the reader's pre-Christian life, before they had become Christian. And the commonwealth, or nation, of Israel recalls the concept of ancient Greek city and states, whereby a city or country provided numerous valuable advantages and benefits and privileges for its citizens, but withheld them from foreigners. And since the Gentiles' addressees used to be aliens from the Jewish nation, who were God's people, the Gentiles were without the spiritual blessings given her by God. And without God means not having his help and assistance. This was their spiritual plight before salvation. And we know that most all of the Gentile nations knew nothing of God, the true God. They worshiped idols, all kinds of gods. They had many, many, many gods. Now, 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You see, because the Jews had access to God through the temple in Jerusalem, they were said to be nigh. But the Gentile nations, geographically removed from the temple were said to be far off. And these terms of space came to denote moral distance, so that to be nigh was to have a proper relationship with God, and to be far off was to have an improper relationship with Him. Now we know what they were calling near and far off. Today, we call it walking in darkness and walking in light. Those without the Lord Jesus Christ today are walking in darkness with Satan and his demons and others that are against and walking against the commandments of the Word of Almighty God. But those that are walking in light are walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. They've been to Him. They've repented. They've been baptized in His name. They've put on His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And their life is new. It's changed. And now they are walking by His word. If they are a true born-again child of the living God. But we have so many today that are claiming to be Christians, but are not. And as the Word of God calls them, they're hypocrites. Think about it. What are you? How are you really walking in your life? 14. For He is our peace. We know Jesus is our peace. He's our comfort. He is the cause of our joy and our faith and our hope as we walk through this life. To go on with 14. Who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now, you see, He who has made both one, Jesus, has formed the two groups of Jews and Gentiles into a single new party, the Christian Church. You see, there's no difference in us now, or shouldn't be, because we are all to belong to the Christian Church. And as we were reading this morning, studying, and we know that we are all to belong to the one church, His church. Now, the church that you attend, and by whatever name it goes by, does not matter. It is what is coming through that place and from the pulpit and from that man that is in charge. He did this by removing the middle wall of partition. That is the Mosaic Law. The law was meant to protect Jews from pagan corruptions. But by misconstruing the purpose of the law, the Jews felt superior to the Gentiles, who were incensed at this arrogance. So Jesus abolished this enmity, or this hatred that was between, and caused by an abuse of the law, by making the law invalid for His church, between one new man, as above, Christian Jews and Christian Gentiles now compose this one new man, the Christian church. That church must be teaching this word of God as it is written and teaching it in truth and not teaching things that are contrary to it, leaving things out that they don't want to teach, but that they are teaching everything, especially the important things that can cause you to miss heaven and make hell your home and eventually wind up in that lake of fire. Now, 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of one new man, so making peace. 16, that he might recognize both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. 17, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. You see, preaching peace to you which were walking in darkness. He called it afar off. Today we call it walking in darkness. And to them that were nigh, and to them that were in the light. Now, but you see, these are things that you and I, because that is the word of Almighty God, has nothing to do with my thoughts, my beliefs. It is what is in the word of God. Now, 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father, through Jesus. That's why we are told how to pray. We are told in the Word to pray to the Father in Jesus' name, and he will hear us from heaven. And if we know that he hears us from heaven, then we can receive our wishes. Now, 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. You see, the Gentiles, we have all been brought in family of God. And there is only one church. That's his, and we need to be teaching his doctrine. Well, Pastor, what doctrine is that? The one I'm holding here in my hand, the way called the Holy Bible, and he names it as the Apostles' Doctrine. Because you see, it is the apostles that recorded this as it was given to them by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of the church. He is the one that holds it together and gives it its strength and its power. Now, 20. And are built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being cornerstone. You see, I wouldn't tell you something that wasn't so. He is the chief cornerstone. 21. in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. Don't argue with me. You see, that's his word. You're not arguing with me, you're arguing with him. Now, 22, and this is the last verse of chapter 2. In whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. That also emphasizes to you and I and stresses that Christian Gentiles, as well as their Jewish counterparts, are part of the church. And Christians are viewed as a habitation or a dwelling place in whom God lives through his Holy Spirit. And we know this, because we've been told this time after time after time as we have come through. All right. We have come now to the end of chapter 2 there of Ephesians. And where God's going to lead next, I don't know. He's changed me a couple of times in the last few days. Will he take us back into Matthew? Will he continue here with another chapter here, or take us somewhere else? Only he knows that. Because, you see, he knows who's going to be listening and who isn't. Or if anyone is. But you know, it's hard to preach a service when there's no one with you. Let me tell you, it is, it's hard. But, you see, I can do it because the Spirit is still speaking to me as I study. So whether I'm by myself or with someone on one of the internets or the other, doesn't keep me from learning. But it does, in the last few days I have been praying to the Father. I want to share this with you. To the Father. Whether I should look for a church that is around close enough that is right with him to attend and take part in that church and close this ministry out or continue going as I'm doing now. And I am praying for that. And I'm asking God to give me his answer of what he is wanting of me now. All right. I pray that you have gotten something from this. I don't know who's listening right now. But I pray that if someone is listening, they've gotten something out of this service, out of this study, that will help them along the way. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, As we close your word, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the Lord Jesus and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, times that we can come together. And I want to do, Father, exactly what you want of me to do and to accomplish. That's why I'm asking these things, Father, and I'm asking for an answer from you. So let me know, Father, what you want me to do and to continue doing. Now, Father, I pray for Israel and Jerusalem. I pray for them to have peace. But even more, Father, I pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. This land of ours, Father, is filled with evil. Pray for it. And I pray for the evil that's in our government to be removed, taken out of office and replaced with those that are walking in righteousness, that loves the Lord our God, loves the Lord Jesus Christ, loves the church, God's people in this land, and that will work with us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation that it was on, and that being God's word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for each and every one that has listened to this service, and I pray for Kenny, and I pray for Dennis Lee, I pray for Amy, her husband Tom, her son Jacob. Pray for Bobby and Millie Johnson, James Taylor. I pray for Sue Branson. I pray for Debbie and Daryl, Courtney and Shane. Pray for my wife, myself, and all of our families. Because, Father, we all have family members that are not living in the light. They're living in darkness. And I pray that the Holy Spirit can work with them and bring them to a knowledge that they need the Lord Jesus in their life. And that they'll walk from darkness to light, and that light being Jesus. And I'm praying, Father, as we now come to a close, that you keep each one, Father, in health through this night. Keep us safe and bring us back together again from morning to 10 a.m. Father, this is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, all. Good night.